This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The heir to Samsung is back in court, and the effect on global business if the Iran nuclear deal goes.
What nobody foresaw when the deal was signed in 2015 was that Donald Trump was going to win the U.S. presidential election.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. South Korea's third richest man, de facto head of the Samsung empire, is back in court appealing a 5-year sentence for corruption. What this is still really about is the closeness between the most powerful business and political leaders in South Korea. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains.
J.Y. Lee, the crown prince of Samsung as he is known in South Korea, arrived in court today to face the first hearing in his appeals case. Dressed in his typical black suit, Mr. Lee walked solemnly into the court building. He's been held in detention since February, first under arrest and now serving a 5-year prison sentence after he was found guilty in August of handing out millions of dollars in bribes in return for political favors. The scandal brought down former President Park and has raised concerns about just how influential massive family-run conglomerates are in South Korea. Known as chaebols, they control the bulk of the economy. Samsung, for instance, is thought to make up a quarter of the country's GDP. But they're also hated by many for the power they wield in politics. Mr. Lee and his lawyers insist that he is innocent. A decision in this case is expected early next year. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The South Korean stock exchange hit a record high, ending up 0.7%. Trading in shares of Chinese car firm Great Wall were suspended after surging 14% on rumors of a deal to manufacture BMW's Mini. In Europe, markets are mostly flat. Spain's IBEX inched slightly higher, up 0.03%, following a week-long roller coaster ride that was triggered by Catalonia's independence vote. Now, will President Trump decertify the international nuclear deal with Iran? Iran's in compliance, though there are concerns about its actions in Iraq and Syria. Roham Alvandi of the London School of Economics told me what could happen if he does, and Congress looks at fresh sanctions.
America's own sanctions, the sanctions that prevent American companies and American individuals from doing business with Iran, are in place. They're going to be in place. There's no discussion of lifting those. But the question is, if Europeans or Chinese businesses or Russian businesses want to do business with Iran, are they going to face penalties from the U.S. Treasury for doing that?
And that's a real issue because there's disagreement in the rest of the world about that. Iran is a huge market.
It's an enormous market. It has huge potential, obviously, especially Iran's oil and gas industry, which requires a huge amount of foreign investment. So the stakes are very high, and Russian, Chinese, European companies are very keen to do business with Iran. They've gone back into the Iranian market. What nobody foresaw when the deal was signed in 2015 was that Donald Trump was going to win the U.S. presidential election.
He does claim, though, to make decisions based on what's good for U.S. business. So is that what's behind this?
From a business point of view, it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, just think in terms of the massive deals that Iran has signed with Boeing. Hundreds of orders for American aircraft, which translates into so many jobs in American industry. I mean, all of this will be at risk if he decides to tear up the nuclear agreement.
Roham Alvandi. The price of Darjeeling tea could spike. Political upheaval kept workers away from crops in eastern India for 3 months. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more.
Here at one of the largest tea gardens in Darjeeling, about 30 to 40 workers are trying to trim the tall weeds that have grown on top of the tea leaves. Even though a few tea companies have started work, it will take them at least 2 to 3 months before they can start proper production. Jag Gohanyogi, who's the manager of Monteviot Tea Garden, says this is a crisis situation for the Darjeeling tea industry.
This is a major setback for the Darjeeling tea industry. This year, we have been able to produce only 30% of the crop, and the rest of it has all gone spoiled.
It all started when the Gorkhas, a Nepali-speaking community who makes up the majority here, revived a long-standing demand for a separate state. Shops, schools, banks, and businesses were shut for more than 3 months. The strike was called off after an invitation from the government for talks. Most of Darjeeling's 100,000 tea garden workers are Gorkhas and so strongly supported the demonstrations. They even have a song that talks about their dream of having a separate state.
I'm very sad that the strike has been called off. We had very little food to feed our families during the shutdown, but we were willing to make that sacrifice to achieve our dream for a separate state.
Darjeeling is slowly returning to business as usual, but it will take a few more months for tea production to normalize in this region. Tea companies say that supplies will be hit in the coming months. And when that happens, people may have to shell out more money to taste one of the world's most famous brands of tea. In Darjeeling, I'm the BBC's Samir Hashmi for Marketplace.
Finally, those Gucci furs will soon be a thing of the past. As of 2018, the company says it's going fur-free and donating proceeds from remaining stocks to animal rights groups. Campaigners say it's a huge game changer. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.